Beis machlokes, if you can go to the Beis Akisa wearing a kittel. Most, some do, some don't. Okay, let's discuss now the tzedakim. I don't want my sefer. Maybe I left it at home. I don't know where it is, but we don't need it. It's okay. I want to bring you out an idea. This week's parashah is about the paraduma. Paraduma, there are only 10 paradumas in the history of the world. 9 have already been done, and the last paraduma will be done when Mashiach comes. It was not easy to find a par that was completely red without even 2 hairs of a different color. And when they found such a para, they took it outside. The parasha begins by telling us all the details of how you prepare the paraduma. And you burn it. After you sacrifice it, you burn it and you make it, you produce ash. The ash is stored away. And any time a person is tamei, needs to be purified, the Kohanim would sprinkle upon him, day 3 and day 7, a small amount of water that was mixed with the ashes of the Para Aduma. Now, there's a machlekes in Haradam Pshat in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that when they burned the Para for the very, very first time, when they burned the Para, it has to be burnt, it has to be lit up by a person in Ish Tohar. A person who is pure. Chazal interpreted this pasuk based upon their understanding, based upon the drash. I don't have all the details in front of me, I don't remember, that the person that actually burns the para and makes the para for the very first time does not need to be 100% tar. He can be what's called a tvul yoin. Most of the time, most of the various types of tumma, the process is, if the last time a person goes to mikvah, after he reaches the end of his purification process, he does not become tohar instantly by immersing himself in the mikvah. The last immersion in the mikvah reduces 90% of the tumah, 99% of the tumah, but he still must wait until sunset to become 100% tohar. It's the first Mishnah in Shas. What are they waiting for? Why didn't the Kohanim already eat during the day? The answer is, these are Kohanim who are Tumeim. And they went to Mikvah 9 o'clock in the morning. So if they were a serious level of Tum and Avat Tumah, now by going to the Mikvah, they become a Sheni. And the Din Sheni and Truma can become a Shlishi. So if they were to make contact with Truma, even though they went into the mikvah, the Truma would become Tameh. Because going into the mikvah reduces you, let's say, for argument's sake, from the status of being an Av HaTuma to the status of being a Sheni LaTuma. If a Sheni touches Teruma, the Truma becomes a Shlishi, always goes down one level. So in order for the Kohanim to remove from their self the status of Tumah of a Sheni, they have to wait. Until when do they wait? Until Tseis HaKoychav. Me'emos HaKorin Shema B'Arvis, Mishah, She'HaKoychanim, Nichnasim, Le'echol B'Trumasan. They're waiting until sunset, Harav Shemesh, Tseis HaKoychav, so they can eat the Shuma. Now, there was a dispute between the Chachamim and the Tzedakim as to who is allowed to be the one who burns the para aduma. Chacham said, even a person who is a sheni, a person who went to the mikvah in the morning, but is not yet 100% tahar, he's still waiting for sunset. So he's in limbo. He's waiting. He's waiting. He went to mikvah, but I still need time to pass sunset to be 100% tahar. The Chachamim said, this person is what the Torah means when it says tahar. He can burn, he can be the one to make the para aduma. The Tzedakim, who we call apikarsim, the Tzedakim, they were corrupt, and they said, no. It says tahar. The only one that can prepare the para aduma is a person who is 100% tahar. He already had to have Harav Shemesh. The sun already had to set for him, so it has to be from the next day. Yesterday he went to Mikvah. Last night was Seis HaKochavim. So now he is 100% Tahar. he now can be the one that's going to burn the para aduma. Now, this was a very big machlekes, and because of this, in order to show them up, to show up the tzedakim, what did Chazal do? They bedafka went and they used a person who was a tful yoim to make the para aduma. Even though it would be better, there's no harm done if the person would be 100% tar. But in order lahachis, to show them up, they bedafka went and they used the person who went to mikveh in the morning, who is still called a sheni, who's not allowed to eat truma because he has a residual tumah lingering on his body. Bedafka, he's going to be the one that's going to burn the paradum. Now the problem with that was it sends the wrong message. When people find out that the person who made the paraduma was a shtickle tameh, because he went to the mikvah, did not yet have sunset, it sets the wrong message. Oh, tumah is not so bad. You can make the paraduma next time around. You know what's going to happen? The slippery slope. They'll let a person who was 100% tameh burn the paraduma. Because they're letting a person who's partially tameh burn the paraduma. So it sends the wrong message. In order to counteract this message, this wrong message that may be sent to the people, they bent backwards to do bizarre things. They took children who they were born in isolated cities, which were built upon platforms, to make sure there's no dead body buried unknowingly beneath. And they raised them until they were adults, till a certain age, in these cities. Isolated cities built on platforms, so they should be 100% tahar. And they then took these children, they took this child, and the day they wanted to burn the para aduma, they contaminated him. And then he went to mikvah. So he was now a tzvul yoim, to show up at Stoken. Look, here is a person who was tameh, who went to mikvah, who needs to wait until the sun sets, and he is going to be the one that's going to prepare the para aduma, not likely what you say that stoking. Over the top. So why then? Did anyone get to contaminate him? Why do they have to go have him grow up on a city, on a special, for all these years? In order to show, we're contaminating him only to show up that stoking. We're not contaminating, but otherwise, look how the extreme sensitivity. It's a very bizarre thing. I really don't know the answer to your question. Yes, you're really, really good. It's the obvious question. What exactly does this mean? That's what it says. There's obviously there's more to it that we're missing. We're really missing some information, but that's what it says on a very simple level. So the question over here is, and I want to try to give you an example. We only have two things, but what exactly is bothering the tzedakim? I believe this is an idea. It's an idea. And it doesn't answer all the questions, certainly not. But I just want to throw out this idea. What exactly is the root, the difference in hashkafa between the tzedakim and Chazal, the Chachamim, who are very, obviously Chazal are very disturbed with the tzedakim. They feel that tzedakim are a great threat. There's something about them that is threatening to Klal Yisrael and has to be shown they're wrong. It's not just how they interpret the Torah. Obviously, there's a hashkafa. There's a hashkafa. There's a way of looking at life which has crept into their thinking, which forces them to interpret the Torah in a certain way, which Chazal viewed to be corrupt. What is it? So let's look at another example. Another very classic example about the tzedakim was, the question was, when do you prepare the ketores when going in Yom HaKippurim lefnai v'lefnim? The Chachamim were of the opinion, you go into the Kodesh HaKodashim, holding in your hand, in one hand, a shovel of coals, and in the other hand, Ketores. And when you are in the Kodesh HaKodashim, when you're inside, you take the Ketores and you pour the Ketores on the coals. Chazal said, that's Chazal. The Tzedakim said, no. It's a matter of interpretation. When you're in the Heichel, before you go into the Kodesh HaKodashim, you pour the Ketores on the coals, and you produce a column of smoke, and you then enter the Kodesh HaKodashim. You enter the Kodesh HaKodashim with the smoke already rising, with the Ketores already producing fragrance, and producing a column of smoke. And the problem is, Chazal always suspected that the Kohen Gadol, and always suspected, was a closet tzedoki. He made believe he's a chachamim, right? He made believe he played the part, but on Yom Kippurim, when no one's watching, no one knows what's going on. He secretly, when he went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he pulled off the stunt. He did it the wrong way. Lahachas. He took the guitarist, poured the guitarist onto the coals, produced a column of smoke, and then entered into the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
Why would they do that if Aaron didn't do it then?
Because they believe Aaron was wrong. Or they believe, I don't know, yes, they're a new religion. They believe Aaron was wrong, or maybe Aaron was at Stokey like them also. Whatever, they were corrupt. They wanted to change the religion into doing it their way. This was a big, this was the prize. The prize by them was, if they can penetrate, they can disguise them, like a spy, espionage. Unbelievable. You think, people who work in the, can you imagine that the head of the CIA, what is he called? What's his title? The head of the CIA. The director of the CIA, he's really a spy. He's a spy working for China. And all the secrets he's giving over to China. What?
Minister.
He was a low level guy. He wasn't a big guy. What could he possibly give him to them? He wasn't a big guy. He was a big fish. He was a small guy. They use him as an example. But let's say the head of the CIA director, he's a spy. He's giving Russia, a double spy. He's giving Russia and he's giving China all the secrets. How did he get there? How could it be that he was able to fool us all this time from that he worked his way all the way up to become the director? How you talking? Right? I'm sure there must have been movies and novels.
Mold
to go all the way. You get all the way to the top. Unbelievable. Right? So that was what they were trying to do. That was the Tzedokim. They were trying to infiltrate the kahuna. It's unbelievable what's going on. Secretly, they played the part, but deep down inside, they were spies. And the goal was, the spitz was to become the Kohen Gadol. And then when no one's watching, what is it in the pasuk? Chol Adam lo yeh ba'ol moed. No one's allowed to be there. And secretly, bring the guitarist the wrong way. First, make the smoke, and then go inside. Can you imagine? What's going on over here? What is this all about? Okay. Another big thing of the stoke, and another thing, a lot of gemaras. They didn't believe in the Sechamayim. They didn't believe in holding all together. No such thing as pouring water on the mizbech. No such thing. And they would go up there and they would make believe. They would make believe and they would really pour on their feet. No one was watching. Instead of pouring the water on the basin, they would pour the water on their feet. No one should see what they're doing. Just not to do Nisach HaMayim. Don't do it. What's going on? What's with these people? What's with the Tzedokim? So I want to suggest, okay, the only thing I want to suggest is a very simple idea, and maybe, then we'll go to another idea, another short idea. Maybe they're tied to it, maybe they're not. If you notice, what the Tzedokim don't like is time. I think there's a common denominator, and it has to be studied, if this is really true. What bothers them is the concept of time. The Tzedokim believe in now. They don't believe in waiting for the future. They want it now. Like, we live in a generation that we can relate to this.
Instant.
We live in the microwave generation. We want it hot, and we want it now. Okay, it's a very good expression. They believe in now. They don't believe in this principle of waiting. A tful yom, what's the principle of a tful yom? In the Torah, according to the Chazal, nothing happens in a moment. Every good thing in this world is a process. You want to reach Tahara? You can stand on you go through a long, long process. If a person is a Zav, Zayinikim, a Mitzvah, you have to wait in isolation. Finally, you find Zayinikim, or the Kohen comes. It's a process. Shave your hair, bring Kribonos. You have to wait another 7 days. Person who is a Tommy Mace, you have to do 7 days. The Paraduma, day five, day three, day seven. Finally, you make it to the finish line. Finally, it's day seven. All the Tmeim go to mikvah. Ah, Gevaldik. I went to the mikvah. I did the last piece, the last part of the process. I'm done. And the Torah says, No, you're not. You've gone this far. It's every Tahara is a process. And every Tahara ends with going to the mikvah. But it's not over yet. You got to wait until the sun sets. You gotta wait. You gotta wait. You gotta wait. The Tzedokim don't believe in that. You have to wait. You have to wait for Tahara. It disturbs them. This idea of you can wait. You can still be good now. Taking into consideration the future is something they cannot deal with. They did not accept this concept that a person who is a tful yom, who they believe in tful yom, they believe in the principle, they believe that you have to wait until the sun sets to be tahar, but that this person who is in a state of waiting, can be considered a person who's eligible for the preparation of paraduma that gave them no peace. Because they don't believe in this lingering state.
It must have been New Yorkers.
They don't believe it has to be refined. This idea of Ketores. Wait a moment. You're going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's a matter of impatience. No. We have to get the show on the road now. I don't want to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and then in a state of being in the middle. See, they don't go for this state in the middle. A tful yoim is nishtahi nishtaher. He is tamei, but he's tar, he's waiting. Going into the Kodesh HaKadosh, on one hand there's a kolz, and on one hand there's this ketores, there's another thing that has to be done. So why wait? Let's do it now. Do it now, and then we'll walk inside. You go... So where does it come from? It was a very long wait. When Hashem created Vayavdil Lekim Bein Amayim, Bein Amayim, Hashem Mitachas Lerukim Bein Amayim, Hashem Me'al Lerukim, Hashem split the waters. There were two bodies of water, one above, one below. One above, one below. And Hashem, so the Mayim Tachtonim cried to Hashem, it's not fair. Until now we were close to you, and now by putting us in this world, we're so far removed from your presence. So Hashem said to the water, have patience. Have patience. Wait 2,000 years. In 3,000 years, they're going to take you and they're going to give you, they're going to put you on, they're going to pour you on the Mizbeach. It's a long wait. Exactly. Hashem, Tzedokim, don't go for this business of waiting. Anything that has to do with time, it disturbs them to no end. I have to define each situation, but I think there's a common element of the tful yom. The tful yom is a matter of zaman. The mayim el yom mayim tachtonim, Hashem says, okay, don't worry, there's going to be a tikkun, but it's going to take time. You got to wait until the world comes to its matzah. When it comes to the ketores, I don't want to wait. You're going to go into the kodesh, I have the ketores, let's get the show on the road. I have to wait with the ketores until I get inside the first vimach of the ketores. Let's do the ketores now and walk in with the ketores. It's a matter of impatience. It's a matter of impatience. Torah is this one. Now, where does it really come from? So this is another very, very powerful insight that we're going to talk about, but let me, where I think we call them. Where do they come from, the Beit HaYosef? How do they come into existence? Who is the Rebbe? The Gemara says, Antignois, Ish soichoy hoyo oimer, al tiyu ka'avodim ha'mesham shemesarav almanas lekabel pras, almanas ela tehe almanas sheloy lekabel pras. So who is the Talmidim of Antignois? Antignois, Ishoichoi, Sodoik, and Baitois. Now this is a very powerful principle in Chinuch. What happened to these two? They could not deal with living in such a high level. Antignois Ishoichoi told them, you have to live your life l'shma. There's no reward in this world. The reward's going to come later. He didn't tell them there's no reward. The reward, al tiuka avodim hamasham shal nas lekabel pras, ela bi almanas shaloy lekabel, v'soif elovoi, the end will come. The whole approach of Antignesh is soichai is, have patience. Right now, live a life of lishma. Live a life, a pure life of lishma, where you're going to get nothing in this world, nothing. And the reward comes later, patience. Why couldn't they handle it? Because that's a very powerful in chinuch. In chinuch habanim, you go tell a little child, live l'shma. you create, you'll destroy them. Children, you have to give prizes, money, prize, incentive, covet. It's all about shaloi l'shma, to get them into the habit. They could not deal with this high level. It's very interesting. I'm finishing with this. I want to bring a very interesting point. The Gemara Masechet Zvachim says, when you bring a karban, you have to have kavana, six things. L'shem, Hashem, Zevach, Reach. There are six kavanas you have to have when you bring a karban. Along came Chazal, and they said, don't you dare. Just have no kavana. Stam. Because if you're going to start having six kavanas, you're going to mess up. Now let me ask you, so therefore, what is the ideal world? The ideal world is to have all six kavanas. But Chazal said, don't try to be an idealist. You're going to fail miserably. And that's in the Beis HaMikdash. This mantra, Beis HaMikdash HaYakayim, the Shechina is resting. Don't try to live an ideal life. You're going to fail miserably. And Tignoish Yisoychai led an ideal life. Heavy Misham Shemes HaRav HaManas Shaloi L'Kabel Pras. He led an ideal life. His children, his Talmidim, couldn't handle it. Because the Chazal told you, don't try it. You try to have all six kavanas. You're finished. Chazal told you, don't aim too high. You know, you have to aim very high, but don't aim like, you know. I recently read a book by Dalfin, where he compares Satmar against Chabad. He is a very heavy duty Lubavitcher Chassid, and he has, it's very, very fascinating. You know, you can read a book about Lubavitch, you read about Satmar, there are a lot of books about Satmar, but when you write a book comparing one to the other, it opens up a whole new world, things that you never understand. The only way you understand is being made in Dovar Mitoich Dovar. So it's very, very fascinating. And one thing that struck me, really, really struck me, it rings in my head, is that someone came to the Satmar Rav, and he had complaints, like you know, your approach, and this and that, it's a little bit too extreme. It's too extreme. So he said something, where it really touched upon this, and Tignois, and the six Kavanas, he says, you're right, I hear what you're saying, but I am a L'chatchila Dika Yid. My approach in life is L'chatchilas. I'm not looking for any b'di'evads in my avodas Hashem. Everyone else I see around me in America, all the other groups, they're living a life of b'di'evad. I want to create an approach of life of l'chatchila. That's what he said. These are his words. And therefore, everything, and it's so true, their whole approach is, don't settle for any b'di'evad. Now, that approach, that's like antignoish yisoychai. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And they're very successful, obviously. But you also have to appreciate, that those that are not part of that group, you know, look what happened. Antignois was an idealist. He was the L'chatchila Dikayit. His Talmidim couldn't handle it. Look what happened to them. Their whole approach was, not everyone can handle being a L'chatchila Dikayit person. They are dangerous. What? They're very, very, you know, a lot of things in life, you know, look at a Naturi character. Okay, I'll say something totally crazy, right? You take the Naturi character, you think about them, you think they're Shitas. In a certain way, they're right. They've taken concepts to the extreme. In a way, they're right. They're mamish. They're mamish roitfim. Some people hold the chayiv mis, they're roitfim. Meshugoyim, they're crazy. Are they really crazy? Where do you draw the balance? Their ideas are, to the natural conclusion of their ideas, they're right. But they're not right, because look at the results. The results are, you mean, shugayim, crazy loonies, roitfim. So you see, it's a very strange thing. It's a very strange thing where to be a lichatchila can get you in the wrong place. Antignois, where did the Baitoisim come from? The Tzedekim come from? They came from Antignois. Antignois was ideal, L'chatchila. And that was good for him. But it wasn't good for Baitois and Tzedek. And where does it come out from? Impatience. in this matter of time, patience is that's where it is expressed, is they cannot deal with this. Okay, whatever that means. We have to just different ideas. We threw out different ideas, which have to be understood, have to be developed. But at least I thought it was worth discussing, analyzing some of these ideas. Okay, I'll stop here.